Warning, the hosts of this program are not broadcast professionals. They have no idea what they're doing. They are bad at this. One of them uses swear words. A lot. All complaints about this show are correct. You have been warned. This is your last chance to download a real podcast. Okay, you asked for it. Here are Dave Brown and Iron Mike Irons. This is Entitled Town.
All right. Thank you, Al. Welcome to Entitled Town. I'm Dave Brown. I'm here with Iron Mike Irons. I'm at Gillette Stadium. Mike is in an undisclosed location, and Al is a little upset because he plunked down a ton of money in advance on tickets to the AFC wildcard round in Foxborough. And I think some guy took off with his money because I don't even know if that game's going to happen. It's unfortunate.
Caveat emptor, sucker.
Well, did you sell him the tickets?
Is that what's going on here? Allegedly.
He's like four figures, he said, like for upper 300 level. It was crazy. Per ticket. So it's starting to look less and less like there's going to be a wild card game here. The Patriots still hold possession of the number two seed. They are they just have to beat Miami to lock that up, or some other things could happen that would give that to them. And here we are. And the reason that we're in this situation is because the Patriots won today. They beat the Buffalo Bills 24-17. And what did you think of the game? Did you enjoy this one?
As good as a regular season win as you can have. And unfortunately, that game provided a blueprint. It was a blueprint for busting every bullshit media narrative that we've had fed or stuffed down our throats over the last few weeks. The offense had 400 plus yards of total offense. 9 players had a reception. They held the ball 39 minutes. The defense bottled up the run. Immediate punching bag, Marshall Newhouse came in, actually got to play his natural position, and played well. Nick Folk hit a 51-yard field goal, and despite a TV doctor, hyperlocal Harry's TV doctor, having Julian Edelman's leg amputated at the knee, he played. He is the lifeblood of that team. He embodies what a Patriot is. He's tough. He's versatile. He's competitive. He's unyielding. And caught a little bit of Larry Bird against the Pacers when he came back in there when they were down 17-13.
Caught a 2-point conversion, and that put the Patriots up 7 in the fourth quarter. And I thought he looked pretty pumped up. A big spike there. And you know, I think one thing that was evident, we've talked a lot throughout recent episodes about how if the Patriots are going to be successful in the postseason, they're going to have to, this offense is going to have to figure things out. It's going to have to be more cohesive. They're going to have to play better. And I thought when they scored that 2-point conversion, the way that Edelman reacted, it looked to me a lot like some, it looked to me like some release, like finally, like we've got this thing going on the right track here. And so, I mean, I don't know that they were, it certainly wasn't the best offensive performance I've ever seen from them, but it was a very good one. And to put up 24
points. Night and day
points,
from what happened in Buffalo. Night and day.
Yeah, and you know what? That prior to that Buffalo game, the first two games the Patriots played, one with Antonio Brown, one without, they were lights out those first 2 weeks against the Steelers and the Dolphins. And then they went up to Buffalo after Isaiah Wynn's injury. So the first game when Newhouse came in at right tackle for a couple of plays and then moved over to left tackle. And that's when they really started struggling, or we saw some of the cracks in the offense. And, you know, for them to come out to play the way they did today, scoring the last 11 points, it looked to me throughout the game that this was a team playing on the same page. Brady had a 111 passer rating. That's his best rating since week 2. And
cohesive is the word I'd use.
Completed like 77% of his passes. 271 yards against this team. This team, you said they had 400 yards of total offense. This team was giving up 300 a game coming in. Third in the NFL in total defense.
They're an excellent defensive ball club.
Right. There aren't many. They're fourth in DVOA on defense. I mean, there aren't many teams in the NFL better than the Bills, and one of them is the Patriots. So, you know, there's only two or three other teams in the whole league that play a better defense. This was, you know, for all the commentary this year about how they haven't been tested much, they lost to the Ravens when they were tested, they lost to Kansas City. For all the talk about how there haven't been many tests, not only did they pass a test tonight, but their offense passed it against a very good defense. And so if you're looking for a reason to be encouraged about the Patriots, there you go. Now, has anybody given any reasons to be discouraged about them tonight?
I'm not discouraged. They ran the ball well. They passed the ball efficiently.
Yeah, not my question. My question is out there. I've been writing for the last couple hours. You've been out there, probably just enjoying this win. But have you picked up on any? Have we seen anything negative as far as what the people are saying about this game?
Well, there's always going to be negative. I will say that the Sony Michel haters have been awfully quiet.
You know, one of
the glorified intern haters have been awfully quiet.
One guy who every single week in about midway through the second quarter chirps at me about Sony Michel actually came to me today after the game and said he felt that this was his best game with the Patriots, in spite of the fact that he's had better stats in other games.
He is the word that I used. I was watching the game with a buddy of mine. If you can't see how hard he finishes runs, he runs heavy. He never gives up the football. They're throwing the ball with him and Roberts in the game a little bit more together now. He is as solid comes. And just because he's not doing jump cuts like he's Barry Sanders, you get the idiots, Big Dim Murray, and the rest of the talking radio men, elite ketchup worshippers out there, you know, looking for attention. He is as solid is. And he's the kind of back, you know, he's not Emmett Smith, but he runs in that style. He's workmanlike. He runs hard. He finishes. He's just so good at everything. And as the team's getting more cohesive, as I mentioned, and they're Brady's spreading the ball out a little bit. That's the kind of football that wins in bad weather games. Sorry, Ben Bolin. They're rounding into form.
Nine different receivers caught passes.
Nine different receivers call it. Brady doesn't trust any one of them.
Rex Burkhead led the team with 77 receiving yards. He had a fumble on one, and that set up Buffalo's first score. And then Buffalo had one huge play when Allen was pressured and looked upfield and found an open man on a coverage. Devin McCourty. McCourty talked about this after the game, that they were quickly able to diagnose what went wrong. But it looked like Gilmore was expecting to pass off the receiver to McCourty, and that's not what was supposed to happen. So one big play they gave up there, and then the other touchdown
was set up by the long one to Knox.
Right. And that other touchdown, I think, to me, was a coaching mistake. I think that they should have punted at the end of the first half. But, you know, that's only happened, I think, three times where a team has scored a touchdown on a possession with less than a minute left against Belichick in the half. So, you know, I could understand why they would be aggressive there, try to get some more points on the board. Worst case scenario unfolded, and you know they wound up giving up 17 points to a team they shouldn't have, but they were bailed out by whom?
Thomas Edward Patrick Brady.
There you go. That's exactly what I was hoping you would say. And you know, Brady, for all of the heat that he's taken for the last few weeks, and
it's not bad for a noodle-armed cliff diver.
Well, especially this week, he really took a lot of heat. And, you know, a lot of talk about the elbow, a lot about how, you know, about how he had a bad game last week when they shredded Cincinnati. And he came out and statistically and more than statistically really had his best game in a long time. And he showed us that, you know, something that you and I have been saying for some time, that he is still indeed Tom Brady, and that this was more about putting the pieces together, getting a cohesive unit, and that's what they look like today.
It's winning time.
So, all right, so you want to think about some narratives? I mean, what are people going to be talking about? There's no show tomorrow from 2 to 6, but they'll be on Monday.
Well, they'll have I'll tell you, there'll be some.
It'll be the bench crew this week, right?
Oh, it's going to be shows. For the next 2 weeks, it's going to be the Z-listers. I would like to point out that Mark Bertrand on the Patriots postgame show was already belittling the Patriots win because Josh Allen is, quote, big and dumb. I'll leave that one hanging there right there.
You know, Josh Allen, this I haven't looked it up yet. Do you remember the last time the Patriots defense failed to get a turnover? It's been a while.
It's the fact that we can't answer off the top of the head is kind of proving its point. And he's like, got he is definitely a sawed-off shotgun, but man, he has a huge arm. He's athletic as hell.
He's improved quite a bit since last year. Had a terrible game against them early in the season, and looked a lot better today. Made better decisions, I think. Now, when he overthrows somebody, I mean, the ball just goes to Mexico. But yeah, that's a good point. So what? So now they'll diminish the Bills. Everybody had them beating the Bills. Everybody had the Bills beating them this week.
The Bills are The Bills are the embodiment of moving goalposts. If the Bills came in and Foxborough beat you, caller, they are the, as Rich Teeth said this morning on the WEEI pregame abortion, Rich Teeth said that the Bills are the heir apparent and it's their time now. And now that, you know, you had the flip side of that, you had big and dumb Mark Bertrand belittling Josh Allen, the Patriots weren't able to shut him down. It is just a cavalcade of idiocy that surrounds you in the press box.
Did you say cattlecade?
Cavalcade of idiocy.
Cavalcade. Okay.
So, although cattle is not far off the mark.
That is a low blow. But
there's some epic blue checkmark meltdowns in the national media today too. If you want to check it out on Twitter, it's just we go again. The Groundhog Day once again.
I saw a few tweets. In the third quarter when it was 17-13 Buffalo that had this team buried. They were done. Not just in this game. I mean, it's over. Bye-bye. It's the Bills division now. And lo and behold, after another 17 minutes of football, here we are and looking at it differently. Now, this is an interesting week because it's a holiday week. And so you will see, I don't know who's going to be hosting all these shows, but I think this is a week for the most outrageous takes.
For the next people up, the people who want to distinguish themselves from the other lemmings.
Right. So this will be the week where, you know, there might be people out there who don't even know they're hosting shows yet, and they're hoping for that call. And then they're going to get it. And it's like, all right.
Andy Hart is the radio of equivalent of a shortstop coming in to pitch, the utility guy coming in to pitch in an 18-1 game in the ninth inning. You got the Mark Jameses of the world, Hardys, those people, that sort of thing.
I don't know who specifically is going to be where, but I think this is the week where when those people, you know, when people get airtime, it's they're going to try to do the most that they can with it. So how outrageous could they get? Like, why doesn't this win count? Josh Allen.
The Bills aren't that good, caller. Josh Allen is big and dumb. They had six free wins a year.
No, think about this. You're sitting there. You want more airtime. What are you going to do for it? Give me your wildest, weirdest take about why this game doesn't matter.
I'm actually proud of the fact, Dave, that my brain doesn't function in that manner.
Beat a 10-win. But come on. Work with me here.
The Bills are the most fraudulent 10-win team in the history of football.
Mm-hmm. They won by the same score that the mighty Ravens beat Buffalo by at home, 24-17. But you know what? The Patriots get to play them twice. They're a little more familiar. Division stuff, shenanigans. Did they have a cameraman?
They probably had a camera at Heinz Field last week filming elite catch-ups and the Bills sideline.
Who knows? Who knows what they picked up on? Gave them some chances because this offense has been terrible all year, right?
Well, you do remember that the Patriots had to be shooed off the sidelines in the game in Buffalo earlier this year.
That's right. You're right. So Ernie Adams was cooking up some home stuff, some home cooking for the holidays, right?
Oh, it's and never mind that the Bills left that game with a timeout in their pocket and a fourth and goal. It's because the Patriots were filming plays. That's why they didn't want to call timeout to give Ernie Adams a chance to do something nefarious.
So what happened? Right, and so what happened was you got Brady with his elbow thing. He misled them. His phony hurt elbow.
Oh, he was just milking it. Didn't he wear ice to the post game press conference?
We're gonna on his elbow. Yes, he did. And I think
doing his Al Zervic impression.
I think that's gonna come up big time this week. I think that's gonna be a go to. Is gonna be Brady's ice pack.
He's looking for sympathy caller. That's the reason he's not gonna play well next week. There's been some fire takes in that vein. There have been.
That's true. And but I think this is the week where things start to shade toward conspiracy and the unknown, and you'll start to see a lot of stuff like you mentioned the camera. Well, in Buffalo they were shooting off the sideline, and who knows what's going on. I think a lot of takes built around, well, who really knows what they're up to.
I like to picture these mediates. They're like the warden in Shawshank. You know, this is conspiracy.
Will they be banned from the playoffs? Should they be banned from the playoffs? Let's discuss that. Call in and tell us what you think.
779-0850 or whatever the hell it is now, 93.7. It really is a race to the bottom. You're right. It's going to be – this is going to be some stuff that if you can listen to it without, you know, wanting to put your head through your dashboard or pull into a bridge abutment, there's going to be some stuff uttered that's going to make you just – if you're not cringing, you'll laugh out loud. It'll be so bad.
I spend very little time listening to these radio shows, and I'll tell you that I remember the 4th of July, that this year the 4th of July was just insane. The stuff that was coming out on Twitter as it filters down from the shows, and it was like, what is happening? And then you realize, oh, it's all the bench. It's all the second and third string hosts filling in time because the regular people take this time off. That's what you work for. That's what you need to get to the prime position. You're not going to work Christmas week. You're not going to work the 4th of July. And of course, watch me get cold take tomorrow when Mike and Tony are sitting at the mics tomorrow. But I'm sure they will be off sometime. I'm sure on come Wednesday.
I'm sure Felcher will have his finest warming napkins warming up in the bullpen.
And so I just remember 4th of July week. Like, what is going on? And I think we're in for that again. And honestly, it would probably be a lot easier for these people if the Patriots had done them the courtesy of losing today. But their arrogance forced them to try to win again, which they did.
It's just the way they do things down there, Dave.
It's the way they do things down there. The sense that I'm getting from inside the building is that they were really just trying to stick it to the backup hosts this week.
Yeah, they didn't do them the courtesy. Professional courtesy is out the window. Chivalry is dead, Dave. I'm not going to get we're recording this Saturday night right after the game. I'm not going to get preemptively angry. I'm in the process of closing the year for my for what I do professionally. I'm going to try not to listen to this stuff, or if I'm able to listen to it, I want to be able to laugh at it and document it.
Well, you listen to more radio stuff than I do.
Yeah, I'm clearly not well adjusted.
All right, so how about this? Josh Allen goes out there today, completes 50% of his passes for 208 yards and two touchdowns, 102.7 rating, 69.8 QBR. That's the ESPN stat. That's pretty good for him. Should the Patriots defense, who had four sacks today, should we be concerned about them? Is there room for concern? Is the defense crumbling?
The defense, they didn't turn over the ball today, as you mentioned earlier. They only had four sacks on a mobile quarterback. And I have worries. I have concerns. Honestly, if you think about the overarching narrative, if you look at the kind of the big picture here, the overreactions, the idiot media overreactions, they were the best defense in the history of the world through the first three, four games. They struggled a bit against the Ravens. You know, they did okay against the Chiefs.
They were untested in those games. I think they played well against the Chiefs, by the way, holding the Chiefs to 23. Nothing wrong with that.
No, you win much more often than you don't if you hold the Chiefs to 23. And I actually don't have the Chiefs are fine. The Chiefs are good. The only knock
for me against the Chiefs was the big play. You gave up the big play to Hardman. Mm-hmm. And that's what you have to beat the Chiefs. You have to avoid those big plays. And the Chiefs always seem to get one when they play the Patriots. You got to minimize them. By the way,
the Chiefs always seem to get them, period.
Always seem to get one when they play anybody. And when I say against the Patriots, I mean, those are the games I'm here watching. But, it's one thing I'll say about Allen today is that he played smart. Because I'm looking at these stats, 13 for 26, not particularly impressive, but got an efficient 8 yards per attempt out of him. And you know, he wasn't trying to win this game by himself, but made the plays when they were there, didn't steer this team into trouble.
The Bills and the Patriots have similar offenses.
People will look at, are you saying that Josh Allen has a noodle arm?
He's just a younger version of a noodle arm. Maybe he's linguine armed. I'm not quite sure what it is.
He was born on a cliff. That's what happened.
That's true. I'll tell you that the thing going back again to using Groundhog Day, Brady is saving. He's thrown the ball away more than he ever has in the last 2 years, and I think that's probably a product of him, some self-preservation. He just threw the ball away again today, but he still completed almost 78% of his passes, and it's winning time. The run that he made when he took the ball down the two, that shows you. It's just an example of him going for it, wanting it. And I know I sound it's inch deep analysis, but he's going to be more willing to put his body on the line in a game in December for the division title and moving forward than he would be in a late September game against an NFC opponent, for instance.
All right. Just have some people coming through here. So if you hear any background noise, that's just
Trip mittens for me. Much still stadium. There.
Those are people who work at the stadium, just doing their stadium things and
setting up cameras.
See, they have to come through here to get to the elevator. And no. But anyway, so yeah, I think if you want to get into some sky is falling type stuff, people will look at J-Mac going out again with Jason McCourty going out again with a groin injury, and Jonathan Jones already out with one, and you know that forced them to lean on some depth a little bit. We saw a lot of Joe on Williams today.
But depth that they have,
yeah, right, and it's crazy. And J.C. Jackson having a nice game, but I think this is what will be churned into. Are the Patriots still a dominant defensive team with people out, not playing particularly great against an offense that isn't very good? Although, again, I don't think that the defense played poorly today. They didn't get a turnover. They kept the other team off the field as much as possible. They only had 20 minutes of possession.
Tackling was better.
You know, the sacks, they made big plays when they had to. They were rough on Josh Allen in that final possession, keeping him from getting a touchdown. So, you know, this is what people want to worry about. You know, one thing that sounds like, if you're a Patriots fan, one thing that people will talk about is, and I don't know, tell me if this is a stupid narrative, okay? The idea that they might be saving some things for the postseason. Now, is that one of those things we imagine to be true? Or do you think it's actually how it works? I can't think of an example where I'm like, oh, yeah, no, in the postseason, they just, like, now, some people say, you know, well, they like last year, right? They played really well in the first two playoff games, and the defense was lights out in the Super Bowl.
Well, I've been told that they had to resort to gimmick plays to score over the last few weeks. So I don't think they've been holding anything in the bag. They ran a Sanu option play today, a double option.
Right, that's true. But maybe the defense, right? So maybe somebody pointed out to me that they've played a lot more cover two than they usually do, and maybe it's the kind of thing where they're like, let's up our tendencies a little bit and maybe show some more.
Put something on film for people to consider.
Put some things on film for people and then come out in the playoffs and play a little bit differently. So is this one of those? So now I'm kind of doing this from the other side, right? Because if there are bad media narratives that are negative toward the team, and I think that's sort of the prevailing language of the Boston media, but you can do it the other way too. You know, I mean, you could say, like, it's a bad narrative to say, well, they've won before, so they'll definitely win this year. And it's a bad narrative. Is it a bad narrative to say that they might be saving something for the playoffs? Like, what evidence do we have to suggest that? Is that just something we imagine because logically it makes sense? It's like common sense reasoning.
Looked a lot. What I saw today on that field looked a lot like how they played in the playoffs last year, late in the season in the playoffs last year.
Somebody else.
Power running game. Converting on third down with the pass, Brady, sharp. They just they kind of know who they are.
It was actually Evan Lazar, friend of the show, who a split vouch, and I won't say who vouched and who didn't, but Evan said the same thing that you just said, which was that this team looked a lot more like the team that was on the field in Atlanta at the Super Bowl than it has for much of the season. That looked like the team that won the Super Bowl.
I've been making the point over the last several weeks that they're a ball possession team where they hold on to the ball. They don't necessarily yet are able to gash you for huge plays, but they hold the ball, they wear you down, and they don't allow you a huge window to beat them. If you're holding the ball for nearly two-thirds of the game and you're playing against an excellent defense, you know, you have to make hay quickly. And the Bills tried to do that today, but they weren't able to make enough plays because the offense and the defense, complementary football. Bill Belichick has been saying this for two decades. No, very few people in the media are actually paying attention.
Well, you know, talk about long plays. Today they had Edelman and Burkhead each had a 30-yard reception. Burkhead had a 31, Edelman a 30. Sony Michel had a 25-yard run, and N'Keal Harry had an 18-yard run. Mm-hmm. So they did pull off some big plays today. But the thing is, like, what they were able to do, and you're talking about time of possession, and to do that, you have to be able to stay on the field and you have to convert on third down. One of the biggest things they had going for them today and which contributed to that time of possession was a 17-play drive. It tied for the third longest drive in team history. Again, against a pretty good defense, and they went 7-for-14 on third down, 1-for-2 on fourth down. So, you know, they converted on half the time. And that kept them on the field. That kept things going. That's where they've been struggling all season. That's where we've seen Sanu drop a couple passes. We've seen Edelman drop a bunch of passes. Brady has had his receivers drop, I think, the most in the league. And so, you know, making those plays, and that's to me where it looked like everyone was on the same page. When they needed those third down conversions, people were there making them.
Agreed 100%. They executed at a high level today.
Yeah, so is there anything else we should talk about? Do we want to delve back into Spygate 2?
Not even a little bit. I gotta say, if you are a fan of the Patriots, 11 straight division titles is goddamn absurd. They've won, I think it's 17 out of 19 years they've won the division, 11 in a row, which I believe is a record for North American sports. And it's still, we get mediates pissing on our heads for two decades now after witnessing the most dominant run in the history of the sport. It just, this is a day to appreciate what, for me, what I've seen, just how absurdly good they are. And just, they play, they're smart, they're tough, and they're, you know, knock wood, they're rounding in the form right at the correct time.
So, and one thing that gets overlooked a little bit is this team has now scored 20 points in
58 points in their last two games.
So they've now scored 20 points in, let's see, three of their last four games, but that it would have been all of those games if not for it would have been four games in a row if not for the touchdown that N'Keal Harry was stolen from N'Keal Harry.
Correct.
So, you know, they're trending in the right direction. For the last month, they've played better offensively and, you know, had a, you know, like I was looking at last week, they had 40% conversion rate on third and fourth down. This week up to 50.
The game plan they wanted to execute against Kansas City, they have executed in the last two games.
Right. And you know, I have a hard time saying that they didn't execute against Kansas City. Did you say Cincinnati or Kansas City?
Cincinnati. The last two games, this game against Buffalo and the game against Cincinnati, they executed at a higher level the game plan they wanted to play against Kansas City. Does that make sense?
Right. Yes. And this gets back to what we've been talking about. You know, when we hear this, when we hear people trying to bury them, like it always goes back to this year is different.
A tradition like no other.
Over the course of these 4 months, what happens is that In the beginning, it's like, feel out what's wrong with the team, even when they're winning. What are the things that aren't going well? And then you build a narrative around that. That's the thing. That thing is the reason that they're not going to win. It's not described as this is the thing that they have. It's not even described as the thing that they have to overcome. It's described as this is the reason that they're going to lose. And what you and I have been saying throughout is these are the things that they have to fix. What the difference between those two narratives, and it's not necessarily obvious, but the difference is one accounts for practice. Ours does. The other one doesn't. The looking at this thing and going, well, they're going to lose because of this, ignores the fact that these are highly motivated individuals who go out every day and put in a ton of work. And Randy Moss, in his he was just honored on the NFL 100th anniversary team, and he said that in Foxborough, you have Tuesdays off, but that's only off the field. That everybody's working all day on Tuesday, trying to figure out how to improve, watching film, getting ready for the other team, and you have these highly motivated individuals who go out and are working every day to improve these things that we see wrong. And so then it comes down to, do they have the ability, if they put in that time, to get better? Well, now we're starting to see that they do. And so is it going to be like, if this team does well in the postseason, is it going to be a surprise again? Are people going to say that no one ever doubted them again?
How do people not understand the concept? They always get better. Always, always, always.
Right. And you know what? Other teams, they have practice too, and they can improve. The Ravens very well could improve. And you know, we keep saying, like, somebody's going to have to, if you know, either this team is going to have to figure out how to beat the Ravens, or somebody else is, or the Ravens are going to win the Super Bowl. So, you know, and that's just how it goes.
Win or lose, the Ravens are not afraid of you.
Right. But, anyway, well, it's getting late here, and I think we've done just about a podcast. It could be one of our shorter ones, unfortunately. But, you know, it's a win that kind of – this was one of their best games in weeks. And you know what this was? Like, they played well against Cincinnati – I mean, against Kansas City. They did. They should have had a chance at the end of that game to tie it if the refs kind of – didn't deprive them of
they
that.
They showed a ton of mental and physical toughness in they that did. Game against the
but
Chiefs.
You know what? But you know what? Tonight they played better. They just played better today. And that's a step in the right direction. I thought against Kansas City, I said, you know what? They're starting to – this offense is starting to turn the ship around slowly but surely. And you know, I mean, the flu game in Houston. Actually, they showed a lot of heart in that game too. But anyway, yeah.
They're a good football team.
You know, here's what's unfortunate is that Patriots fans, there really should be no reason for anybody to sour this win for you. You should be able to go out and just enjoy this all week. And unfortunately, it's Christmas, and you're going to have crazy radio driving some nonsense talk all week. So turn off your radios. Go enjoy the holidays. Merry Christmas and so forth. Right?
And to all a good night.
Well, we're not done yet. Do we have an email?
Yeah, we do have an email, but while I search frantically for it, I'll remind you that our email address is entitledtown@gmail.com. Our Twitter address, I'm at ironhead334, Dave is at that Dave Brown. And our Twitter account is entitledtown@gmail.com. And this is dance for me, Dave, because I got a, my phone is not cooperating here.
All right. Well,
tell you what, we'll hold it off to next time. Mike, grab.
Look for it. I'll tell you one thing that's funny. My microphone coming in the security, they were so scared of it on the x-ray machine that they had to have me open my bag and show them that it was just a microphone. But the way, then they were like, no, you got to see this. And they brought me behind the x-ray screen. This was at security coming into Gillette Stadium tonight. So they run it through the x-ray machine, just like at an airport. And they had me open my bag and show them that I was not carrying explosives. And they're like, you've got to come look at this. And they take me behind the x-ray machine, and they show me what looks to me like a bomb. I was like, oh my God. Like,
it looked I got pulled. Same thing happened to me when I went through security at Logan. They pulled me aside when I had the microphone.
So,
yes.
there were three people running that machine, and they were like, dude, you got to see this. like the way the wires, so that like the stand at the bottom just takes up the whole x-ray, and then there's like wires running around and like parts of my components inside my computer made it just look like this like wild explosive device.
I think you got profiled as a militant.
When I came walking out of the area, because you drop your bag off, it gets x-rayed, you go and check in, and then you come back around. And when I came back around, like they looked at me like, this guy does not look like the guy they send with a bomb. Like, that's kind of like, this is a schlub. He's not James Bond. He's not blowing anything up. But please open your bag, sir, because we've got to validate this. And then they all had a good laugh. So,
well, I have the email up here.
Found it. Great.
Dave Brown's travails at Gillette Stadium. Next episode on the next Entitled Town.
Another wacky Entitled Town adventure time.
Yeah. So I want to thank Mike Rabb, who sent us an email, and it's a lengthy, interesting one, but I'll give you some of the highlights. Love the show. If I didn't know Dave was a Giants fan, I'd sure think he was a Patriots honk Bobo. And I say that with love. All Mike has learned from Spygate, he's learned from Entitled Town, and he hoped the videographers weren't stealing anything, but I'm going to get to the point that I liked. He wants the enemies list to become a recurring feature. He doesn't know much about Andy Hart, and it's one thing I don't know about him, but he's an idiot. Why does the media bring so much misery for so long as Dan Shaughnessy? It's a lifetime achievement. Not unlike Tom Brady. I see a genuinely depressed guy, and in 30 years, I've never seen joy from Dan Shaughnessy. But I would say Andy Hart has a lot of catching up to do.
All right. Well, there you go.
There was a Shank had an interesting week. I'll just leave it there.
What was up with him this week?
There's some revelations out there.
That's one.
Some people just asking the question.
Well, there's one good quick thing I will jump into on Spygate, which is like on Spygate 2, colon, fake Spygate, which is that Dan wrote, he has this thing that he does, and he wrote one of his pieces where it's like, rather than examining the facts, it's like, oh, come on, Patriots fans, you know, scolding you for how, like the Patriots media cartel is out there, and it's all framed as that there's this, you know, rather than examining the facts and determining whether there's a good case to be made that the Patriots didn't cheat, like let's look over what happened and see what actually happened. Let's look at the tape. And one of the things I talked about on this show was, does the camera go to the scoreboard after one play or another? No. In fact, the tape we saw that came out of Cincinnati last week, you can't decipher when plays begin and end. So there's a really good argument to be made that there was no collusion with the Kraft Sports Productions staff and the football operations staff. But the way it's portrayed by in Dan Shaughnessy's column was, get real Patriots media cartel. I don't know if he used that particular phrase, but this idea that like everyone's marshaling their nonsense, don't believe them, just skip to the part where you punish the Patriots. And that attitude, I think, is dangerous, because that's not how we should do any. Anytime someone's accused of wrongdoing, you should be looking at the facts and try to figure out whether they deserve to be punished or not. And this idea that we should just, because the Patriots got over-punished for the original Spygate, which, you know, I've gone over on this podcast, I've gone over in articles, but it just, the amount of information that they could have gleaned, it was not, they were trying to crack down on a certain behavior and sort of change the culture of the NFL a little bit. They were trying to prevent people from being able to make these in-game, you know, to look at film in-game, and the Patriots weren't even doing that thing, but the commissioner, new commissioner came in, gave him a really harsh punishment, and everybody thought it was the worst thing ever. And like, you know, if the Houston Astros right now got that kind of punishment, people would be calling him the cheating Astros all the time.
Well, I'll tell you this, Dave. I think it's rich for Dan Shaughnessy to actually use the words Patriots media cartel. I would say the definition of a cartel is when Shank has enough juice and enough friends in the town to pull strings to keep from having his son's arrest published or mentioned in local media. That is a cartel.
Is that, what are you attributing that to? Is that a sourced report?
Allegedly. Let's just say if you want to go and look.
I don't know if that.
Kirk Minahan has said on his podcast, Minahan has said on his podcast that Shaughnessy begged them to not talk about Sam Shaughnessy's arrest for assaulting a Brookline cop and defecating on himself.
Well, oh boy.
Okay. You couldn't see. It's not recorded in the Globe either.
People, I will say this with any news you hear that sounds outlandish, whether you hear it on this show or anywhere, go do some research. Go figure it out for yourself.
Agreed.
Instead of worrying about whether the Patriots media cartel is spinning something a certain way, go look at the tape. Go back and read about the original Spygate and the tapes that the Patriots had and how they coordinated them with the scoreboard and the field and see that you could actually tell when one play ended and another began. Anyway, that's my quick thought on Spygate 2, fake Spygate. And we've heard the email. You've got the email address. You can find this podcast on Twitter at Entitled Town. You can find Iron Mike Irons at Ironhead 334.
Correct.
And I'm at that Dave Brown. So anyway, I think we've done a whole podcast here. The Patriots won. And as to that comment, by the way, this is how you know I'm not a Patriots. I kind of was like, if the Patriots lose this game, they might have to play in the division in the wild card round. I get an extra game. Like that's, I just like going to the games and writing about them. So I was kind of psyched. It was like, all right, if they lose, that's more football for me. So, you know,
maybe you and Al can hang out in the bye week.
I'm a little bit more of a mercenary in that sense. Like I'm just here for the football.
You're rooting for the story and your wallet.
Yes, that's right. So, you know, anyway, but you know, if you're going to do this, just get the facts. And you know what? People keep telling me I don't hammer the Patriots enough. I must be a fan. I've been here since 2016. I did 3 years in the 2000s from 06 to 08. But since I came back in 2016, they've been to the Super Bowl every single time. What was I supposed to? They went twice. What was I supposed to criticize them for? Ask yourself that. What am I supposed to kill these guys? How do you kill a team that goes to the Super Bowl three times?
Listen to 98.5 between 6 and 6 and find out.
I'm not that creative. It's to do what they're doing. I'm not there, you know. But maybe if we keep working at it, we put in the practice, maybe we can get to a place where I, too, can criticize a winner of two Super Bowls in three seasons.
All you need is a lobotomy and some warming napkins.
Can I get there? I'm going to try. I'll do my best. One of these days, you all see. I'll be the least homerish. I'll prove all my journalistic machismo by asking them why Tom Brady was still playing in the fourth quarter and talking about how terrible Josh McDaniels is at calling plays. And then people will respect me. Right? That's how it works.
Sure it does. Whatever you say.
Then I will be good and honest.
Then you'll fit in the press box.
And I'll invite you, and we'll have so many friends. It'll be special. Okay.
Merry Christmas, all right, Dave.
Everybody. Have a great holiday this week. The Patriots, they beat the Bills. What are we on to?
We're on to the holiday, Dave.
What else?
We're also on to Miami.
That's right. I'm literally going there this week. I am personally, after we get up, that's why I'm recording tonight. I'm going to Miami, and I'll bring the Dolphins back with me. How about that? How's that for my Christmas present to New England? I'm bringing back the Dolphins.
Thanks so much, Dave.
All right. Thank you, Mike. Bye for now. Enjoy the holiday.
Take care.
Take care.